Well, hey, church, how you guys doing this morning? All right, good, good, good. This is a huge weekend for our church. If you did not receive one of those Bold Move booklets coming into the service or over the last few weeks, make sure you get one because you need one, all right? I totally understand that when you go to a place, or for me at least, I go to a place and they're always trying to hand me stuff. I'm like, no, thanks. Okay, don't need that. No, you just keep that. Okay, appreciate it. That type of thing. All right, don't be like me. All right, with that, make sure you grab one of those. What's in those is basically it tells you our plan for our church, where we're headed in the future, and what that looks like. And so we want you to be able to have that. And so make sure on the way out you grab one or stop at the information center. They got one there for you as well. And I get there's some people out there, you're like, man, I don't even go to this church. All right, that's cool. All right, that's fine. You might end up here. All right, so I'm just saying, make sure you grab one of those. You can even grab one. And it's good to know. You'll at least know what you're getting yourself into in case that happens. So that'll be good. Over the last few weeks, we have been having kind of an old-fashioned family meeting, something that we got to do from time to time. Today is part four of our series, Bold Move, and this series has just been different, okay? This has really been kind of an inward, kind of focused series that we're talking to our church family, and we've been laying out the plan and the future for our church. We've talked about some opportunities that it looks like God has for us to take. We've talked about some doors that it looks like God has opened for us as a church family to walk through together. And we've talked about some hard things. All right, we've talked about sacrifice, we've talked about generosity, we've talked about money, and today we as a church family are going to get ready to make a bold commitment together. And so if you're new here, or if you come just once in a while, we have new people all the time, okay? Every single week, last service, we had new people. That's cool. We know that you're out there, and we're so glad that you're here. Maybe you've been here for a few times, and you're just trying to figure things out. Maybe you're not sure where you land on with Jesus, and so you're like, I think I'm saved, but I don't know, but, you know, I'm not quite sure, you know, about this whole Jesus guy. We are not asking anything from you. Okay, I want to get that clear right off the bat. We're not asking you to give. We don't want your money. What we want from you is we want you to start a real relationship with your Creator, a relationship that you were actually created and born to have. That's what we want from you. It's the only thing that you can find in your life that will give you satisfaction and peace. It's just true, right? A lot of us in this room, we know that because we've experienced that in our own life. And so that's what we want for you. We don't want anything else. And so that is so much more important than anything we got going on here. By the way, let me also say, if you are here, maybe you're here just visiting, all right, that's cool too. Maybe you go to another church, or let me say this, you go to another Bible teaching church, all right, which isn't every church out there. Just so you know, you should be giving to your church, not ours. You get what I'm saying? All right, they're your main priority. And so again, if you're new, this is not for you, but feel free to listen in. All right. Hopefully you'll hear about the heart of our church for you and come back next week. Next week, we're going to be back to normal. And I know a lot of us were super excited about that, right? Okay. Yeah, it's true. All right. You don't have to don't hide it. This is what we are here at Grace. All right. We are a movement. We're not a building. All right. We are a movement of broken people who are dedicating our lives to doing whatever we possibly can to reaching as many people as we possibly can in the short amount of time that we have. That is the mission of the church. And we have been doing this here at Grace for about 85 years, or just over 85 years. By the way, most 85-year-old churches are not thriving. All right. They're just trying to survive. And so God is using us, and this is a great family to belong to. It's just true. But if you're here, and maybe you're checking us out, I'll tell you this up front, on the front end, if you stick around Grace for any length of time, I promise you, you will be disappointed. All right? It's true. You're going to be disappointed in our people. You're going to be disappointed in me. All right? I promise you, I will let you down. Okay? I promise you, I will offend you. It's just true. I say offensive stuff all the time. I mean, I call you guys messed up, jacked up, horrible, terrible people almost on a weekly basis, and half of you guys are like, I just love this church. You know what I mean? The Bible is offensive. It will offend you. But somehow church is still God's plan. And that's what's cool about it. Sometimes you'll hear, you know, you'll be out there talking to people, and you've heard this just like I have, and they're like, man, church, I don't need church. You know, church is, you know, it's full of a bunch of hypocrites. And I'm like, yeah, that's why you would fit in perfectly. You should come to my church. You get what I'm saying? Like, we're all messed up. Like, look around. All right? This is no trophy room. No offense. Okay, I'm just saying. It's no trophy room. This is not full of, we're not a bunch of clean, perfect people here. It's just not how it is. If you look around, we're more of like an emergency room. You know what I'm saying? You ever been to one of those? Long wait, people bleeding everywhere, you know, just moaning. It's just like not a good place. That's how we are. I mean, just like look at how jacked up we are. Okay, every single one of us, we are messed up. The person next to you, I might not know them, but one thing I do know about them is they are a sinner. All right, and they're messed up just like you're messed up. And if you look to the person next to you, let's just go ahead and do that. Make the awkward eye contact if you know them. If you don't. You get what I'm saying? All right, that person is a sinner, and you only know some of their sin. All right, you don't even know their worst sin. All right, because the worst sin is going on in here. And I can promise you one thing, it's bad. All right, it's real bad. Same goes for every single one of us. It's just true. That's what church is. Church is not a thing to attend, right? Church is it's a family to belong to. And the point is not to build buildings, right? The point is to build, right, the family and to build the church. And while we're at it, we might as well save as many people as we can. That's the mission that Jesus left us with. In fact, this is one of the last things that Jesus says. All right, he's meeting with his disciples. All right, this is his last conversation that he has with them. What's he tell them? He says, you will be my witnesses, meaning you, all right, you will go, and you're the ones that's going to be out there telling people. I want you to tell everybody about what I have done for them, that they can have hope and they can have peace in me. He says, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, we hear this, all right, in our country. Right, we hear this, and we're so egocentric that we think the ends of the earth is like somewhere else, right? Like it started here. Okay, but no, we are the ends of the earth. It started there, and now we're the ones that God is sending, that Jesus is sending, and He wants everyone to give their lives over to Him and have a real, meaningful relationship with Him. What's cool about it is that one time. Jesus, he's having dinner with a bunch of religious people, which he did so often. Whenever he like hung out with religious people, all right, you'd think those would be his people, all right. Whenever he hung out with religious people, all right, sparks flew because there's always issues, okay. One time he's having dinner with a bunch of them, and they're talking about like heaven and stuff. And Jesus tells them a story. And we all have these different ideas of what heaven might be like. You get what I'm saying? All right, a lot of us, it's like we're doing our favorite thing forever. Some of you guys, it feels like we think it's like an internal church service and we're not even sure if we want to go or not, you know, that type of thing. Jesus is like, no. You guys have all of these ideas of what heaven might look like. He's like, I want you to picture heaven like a party, okay? And this is what he says. He says, picture this, all right? He tells them a story. He says, think of it as like a man was giving a large banquet, all right, or a large party. He's got this large party going on, and he invited a bunch of people. So he invites all these people. He's got this party. He wants everybody to be here. He says, and at the time of the banquet, meaning he gets everything all ready, all right, the party is planned. The invites are sent. He's putting in all the work. He's got everything ready, and he cannot wait to party with his guests. I mean, he is looking forward to it. He says, he sends his servant to go tell those who are invited. He says, come, it's time. All right, let's do this. Let's go because everything is now ready. All right, so here he is. All right, he's like, hey, let him know that the steaks are on the grill, the coolers are filled with drinks and ice. I mean, they are ready for a good time. And so the servants go and they start telling everybody, hey, it's time. All right, let's go. It's time to party. But without exception, they all began making excuses. All right, y'all got that family member or that friend, you get what I'm saying, who you make plans with, and that's cool, but you know that there's a pretty good chance that at the last minute they're going to back out. You know that guy or girl? You get what I'm saying? All right? Some of you, you're that person. Let's just be honest. It's true. Everybody around you knows it, and it's fine. It's fine. You're flaky, okay? All right? We all know flaky people. And so that's what's going on. All these people are making excuses. Now, when Jesus is telling the story, what we have to understand is he's kind of relating this to us, right? This idea of like, here's the master who obviously would be God in this story, and he's got this party, and he wants everybody to come to this party, and that's what he's all about, and he's got this all going, and when it's time for the party, he invites all these people, he invites everybody to give their lives over to him so that they could come to the party, and we as the servants are supposed to be the ones to go invite everybody, But then a lot of people are making, they make excuses. They don't want to go. And so the servants, they came back and they reported these things to their master. They're like, hey, man, we got bad news. Nobody wants to come to your party, all right? Nobody's interested. And so the servants, they're like, I mean, we tried, all right? We tried to tell people to come, but nobody wants to come. Like, it's hard. Like, no one's really interested. And they all got life going on. They got stuff. They're getting married. They got all these things going on. And I think the servants think they're done. You know, we've all been there before. Like, have you ever invited somebody to church, okay, and they say no? Or have you ever tried to have a spiritual conversation with somebody at work or, you know, a family member or whoever, all right? And it just doesn't go well, you know what I mean? And it's awkward, and they basically say no, and what do? A lot of times is we give up. What do we think? Same thing these guys are thinking. We tried. I tried. They didn't respond, and then we make up this idea in our head. We're like, you know, I really don't want to push them too hard, so I better stop talking to them about this stuff because I might push them away, right? Isn't that what we do? We think that way? But here the master says, what are you doing around here for? Why are you coming and talking to me? He says, no, go. Didn't I already tell you to go? All right, you're not done. All right, go out quickly. By the way, it shows us the urgency to the way we are supposed to go out to the world around us. He says, go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of the city. Go everywhere you can and bring in here the poor, the maimed, the blind, and the lame. Here he says, I want you to go out and go to the people that you overlooked. I want you to go out and I want you to go to the people that you don't naturally get along with, the people who aren't your friends, the people that you don't have relationships with. All right, I want you to start there, but I want you to go beyond that. He's getting us, he's like, think bigger. And so they go and they tell more people about the party and they end up coming back and they're like, Master, the servant said, they're like, what you have ordered has been done. We have done it now twice, all right? We're good. And by the way, more people came, but there is still room. See, as long as there's still room, you understand we have work to do as a church. All right, we have work to do, right? As we as a church, we'll add more services, we'll build more space, we will start more campuses, we will do whatever we got to do to make heaven full. That's our job. And so these guys are like, there's still room. And the master, again, he tells him, he's like, this is the third time. He's like, what are you doing here? I told you to go, right? Go. Go out into the highways and the hedges and go all over the place and make them come in. He's saying you need to convince them. You need to get on your knees and beg them. He's like, this is important. This is their eternity is at stake. By the way, look at the master's heart. He's like, man, you need to do whatever you possibly can to get them to the party, to get them to heaven because he wants his house to be full. That's our job. Those of us who have given our lives over to Jesus, all right, I'm just saying, that's on us. Our job is to fill heaven up. And this building project that we've been talking about for the last few weeks, this is just one way to do that. There's actually another time where Jesus, he's trying to get the religious people to understand, all right, his heart for saving people, which is something that they struggled with. Sometimes we struggle with that as well. And you know how he describes us? As dumb sheep, not flattering, right? Okay, he describes us as dumb sheep. And so here's Jesus this other time, just right after this, the next chapter. He's like, hey, think of it this way, all right? Think of it as like, I'm a shepherd and I'm a good shepherd. And you guys are like dumb sheep, okay? And as stupid sheep do, what you guys end up doing is the dumb sheep end up wandering off, all right? That's what they do. I mean, we all have been here before, by the way. Every single one of us in this room, we have been lost at some point in our life. We all started that way, that's for sure. We have been lost in our life. We have wandered away from God. We have chosen to do what we wanted to do over what he wanted to do. We have chosen to reject God and live the life that we want. But Jesus says, but the difference is, I go after you. And again, if you're sitting here in church this morning and you have not given your life over to Jesus, I'm just telling you right now, he's after you right now. All right? I don't think it's any coincidence that you're sitting here in church this morning. And so keep pushing for answers. Keep looking for answers because they're out there. Keep coming. So Jesus asks them a question. He says, and what does a good shepherd do? He says, when he has found that little sheep, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders. And coming home, he calls his friends and neighbors together. He's saying to them, so he leaves the 99, right? He goes after the one, and he comes to his neighbors. He gets them all together. He says, hey, rejoice with me, celebrate with me, party with me, because I have found my lost sheep. I have found my messed up, jacked up little lost sheep. I found them. All right, they're here. He's excited about it. And then Jesus turns to the crowd, and he says, I tell you in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. That's who we are after, that one. As a church, that's who we're after. As long as there is still one out there, we at Grace, we need to refuse to become complacent, something that we constantly, as a Christian, as a church, have to fight against. One of my favorite quotes is from a guy named Spurgeon, Charles Spurgeon. A lot of you guys know him. I'll kind of paraphrase this for you. But he said, hey, if our friends and our family and our coworkers and neighbors and all the people around us, if they go to hell, all right, hell's a real place. Jesus talked more about hell than he did even about heaven, all right? Hell's a reality out there. He says, if our friends and family members and our coworkers and their neighbors, if they go to hell, at least let them go to hell over our dead bodies. That's the idea that we need to have, right? He says, and if they do go to hell, let them go with our arms wrapped around their legs, begging them to give their life to Jesus. That is the same idea that Jesus has given us. And that's why we need to build space. See, 5 years ago, we would never have imagined what God was going to do here at Tiffin Campus. I never would have guessed this. I never would have guessed in 5 years we would be full and at 3 services. God has filled up our space, and it is awesome. All right, that's what we're all about. He has blessed us, and it is time for us to make more. And so we've talked about over the last few weeks what that looks like. All right, we want to build a new auditorium. It'll actually look something kind of like this. This is just a rendering of it. You can see our new hangar play space there, and then the auditorium will be even further out that way. What this will include is it'll include new main entrances. It'll give us 3 new main entrances, and it'll just give us a bunch more space that we need that we can have seats for people who aren't here and a part of us yet. This room that we're currently in will actually turn into some of our lobby space, how we have it thought up right now. This, what you see on the screen, will actually be these doors, which we're going to put on this end of the auditorium, will be someday our lobby. That will have an overhang for people who are elderly or for people who are handicapped. On the inside, we want space in our lobby. We want kind of a town center type feel to it because we want you guys, after service, we want you guys to stop, hang out with each other, talk to each other, build those relationships. That's what the church is. We'll have a cafe space, which we already did all the plumbing and stuff in our last building, which will be right in this corner. That will be there kind of right in the middle of everything, right? That's for guests. And this is kind of what we're looking at to build. Won't be exactly like this by any means, but this is the idea of it. We need office space, and so we'll provide office space on the front of our building. Right now, we're all in a small classroom currently, except for Blaine. Blaine's in a closet in the nursery, okay? So not ideal, but this allows us to have some cheap office space and space for us to hire more people, which we desperately need. But the most important thing that we need is seats in an auditorium. I've met with around 300 of you throughout the last few months. And one of the biggest things that was almost every person was saying this, originally we had designed an 888-seat auditorium. Almost every single one of you that I met with said, not big enough for what God's going to be doing here. And so we have gone back to the drawing board, and now we're looking at an auditorium that's over 1,000 seats and that we think that God will fill up. Does that sound exciting to you?
Yeah.
Okay. We think with this building, which will be by far the biggest chunk of building that we will have here, part of our master plan, there's a few other additions out back here and then out front that we plan to do with children's and adult space. But we think with this building, we think we could grow to the size of around 3,000, okay? And that is a lot of ones. You get what I'm saying? Right, that's a lot of ones. And I know some people, they're like, man, you can't grow. This is little Tiffin, Ohio. You can't have a church of 3,000. Well, my question to you is, why not? We've had that same thinking before. I mean, I remember years ago in Fremont when our church was just about 400, I mean, the same thing was questioned then. It was like, well, we're at 400. I mean, how big of a church do you think we can get in little old Fremont, Ohio? This year, our average attendance, all right, here in Tiffin is 994 people every Sunday. We had two snow days, I think, at the beginning of February that a lot of you guys stayed home, okay? I was here. We were here. All right, some of us were here. A lot of you guys were living it up with your cats. Okay, that's cool. That's cool. Hopefully you watched it. No, that's good. All right, we don't want any wrecks or anything. But I'm just saying, if you take out those 2 days, all right, our average attendance on a regular Sunday is 1,031 people. All right? That's a lot of people. And God did that in 5 years, right, in a town of, I don't know, 17,000 or so. Once in a while, somebody will push back a little bit. And that's cool. This is fair, right? But they'll ask me, like, they'll say, hey, Pastor Zach, you know, why we got to be so big? I get that, all right? We got preferences. But whenever somebody asks me that question, you know, the question that comes to my mind is, who do you want me to ask to leave? You know what I mean? Because you're number one on my list right now. You get what I'm saying? But it's like, who do you want me to ask to leave? I mean, you don't get it. Some of us, we don't get it. People are the only thing we could take to heaven with us. We all are going to die. People are the only thing that we can take with us. And these numbers that I'm talking about, these aren't just numbers to us. These are, each number is a name. Each number is a story. Each number, these are our friends and our children, right? And us. This is you. And I think Jesus died for each one. We know that he did. And so we have a problem. The problem is our building is now an obstacle to people finding Jesus. All right? It was great to start off with. Now it's an obstacle. Now it pushes people away for people finding Jesus. And we can do better than that. All right? New people walk in. This happens all the time. All right? I've seen it with my own eyes. People will walk in. They won't be able to find a seat. And they leave. And I don't blame them. Because we don't have a spot for them. We don't have space for them. And I don't think we're getting those people back. Not anytime soon. Because they know we're full. And I just don't think that Jesus died on the cross for his people to say, sorry, no room for you. And so the moment we turn inward, which is something that a lot of churches have done, is the moment we turn our back on the world. It's just true. And so somebody who knows this best is John and Karen Sutton. A lot of you guys know them. A lot of you guys have known them for a long time. They've been leaders in our church ever since I was just a punk little kid. All right, this is what they say.
I'm John Sutton, and this is my wife, Karen. We've been attending Grace for about 37 years.
It was 1988.
Well, we went there. Church was about, what, 250, maybe 300?
It was in the 300s.
Yeah. And it was starting to grow. I think maybe important or anything is not what has changed, but it's what has not changed, because we kept hearing this phrase about the Bible, the whole Bible, nothing but the Bible, and our church has held to that. And the message that we present is the same as it was 37 years ago.
John and I, early in our marriage, started committing so much of our finances to the Lord each week. And once, you know, we didn't have a lot of money then, but we did that, and the money was always there to give. And we had enough money for our family, and we could even save a little money. And so God provided when we gave to him. It was exciting to see people come to church, people that we'd known in the community, and they were now followers of Christ, and their lives had changed.
And our church is obviously thriving and being attractive to, especially I think, the younger people. A lot of churches have stopped growing, and they just kind of hold on to what they've got, and you can't do that. You've got to reach out and strive to reach others, and that's what we've been trying to do, I think, most of the time that I've been an elder in all these years.
When we went down to Tiffin, we went down to observe and soon found ourselves getting involved in the ministry and with people.
We thought we'd be there a few weeks. That has been over 5 years now. We're still seeing that church being stretched, and we're feeling that we're kind of part of that. We're starting this Sandusky campus, and it's very exciting, among other things. So I can't wait for it to get started, because I think it's going to go like the Tiffin campus did. There's people down at Tiffin, for example, I will sit between services and just be amazed at the people coming and going, and I would think, where would these people be if we hadn't just come down to make the church? And I think the same thing is going to be true in Sandusky. There's going to be people find their way there that probably wouldn't find their way any other way.
I would hope, as years go by, the churches that we start and the ones that already exist will continue to follow Christ's word.
As we do these things, we're not doing them to just increase numbers, or we're not doing it for ourselves. We're doing it for the person in the seat next to us that isn't there yet. I think we as a church have to do is stay true to God's word and not put limits on him and let him direct where we go.
I know John and Karen would agree, but every single time in our church's 85-year history that we as a people have taken a step out of faith, every single time God has honored it. It's crazy to think about. Right? Every single time that we as a people have sacrificed to make space and to build space, every single time God has filled it. Every time. But in order to accomplish that, as many of us know, it takes sacrifice, time, money, and a bunch of work. We think we could build this building for around $8.5 million. I know that's a lot of money. All right, I'll be the first one to stand in line and say that sounds crazy expensive. It's just reality. That will give us an auditorium that seats over 1,000. That'll give us the lobby space that we need. In addition to that, that'll give us a few offices that we desperately need, and that'll give us 3 new main entrances and a little bit more parking. All right, that's what we get out of that. What we need to do here in Tiffin is we need to raise $5 million, all right, as a part of that. The rest of the money we're hoping to get from help from other campuses, and we know that we'll probably have to finance a portion of that. But that's what it looks like here at our Tiffin campus. I mean, that's a lot of money. That means we're going to need lemonade stand money and 6-figure donations. This week, I was talking to Kate. We've been obviously discussing this stuff, but we hadn't like landed necessarily on a number for us and our family. And she was upstairs, I was downstairs. The kids weren't around, so I'm like, I just kind of yelled up to her. I was like, "How much should we do? You know, for the bold move." And she was upstairs, and she shouted down a number that I heard that, and I was like, "You're crazy." Right? I mean, the first thing that comes to my mind is like, Kate, we're realistically, like, where the heck do you think you're going to get that kind of money, you know? But I started thinking about it, and I left. That was like the end of that. I was like, okay, not realistic, moving on. But then I started thinking about it, and I started doing the math, and the next few days, I started thinking about that in my mind, and again, part of me, for me personally, I struggle with this stuff. Like for me, I'm like, man, if we were actually able to do that, you know, we could pay off like most of our house, you know, with that money. It is very hard for me, and some of you guys are like me, it's hard for me to pry my hands off of money. It just is. I'm cheap. Ask Kate about it. She'll give you story after story after story. But the more I thought about it, the more I realized that technically is possible. And so then I started getting convicted of, you know what? I think that's what God wants us to do. And we'll figure it out, and we're going to make it happen. But for us to do it, things are going to have to change in our life. All right? Like if me and you go out to eat, you're going to have to pay. That's one thing. First service didn't laugh at that. I was like, joke, just trying to lighten the mood, people. But we as a family will have to sacrifice. And a part of me, small part, I want to feel it. Like, I want to feel the pinch of sacrifice. For me, the last few months, we've been getting ready for Bold Move and this initiative, and as we get this all going, I've heard story after story after story of sacrifice from people that came before me. I mean, I heard stories of, like, single moms who had almost no money, not only giving their first and their best, like we've talked about, and their tithing, meaning 10% of their helping fund the church and helping the church reach more people, but even more than that when it comes to giving. And these are people that, sure, it might not be that much money compared to a lot of us, but it's a lot of money for them. It's a big percentage of their income. And those people are heroes to me because they invested in me. And it was a big deal for them. I've heard about stories about ladies. I'm not suggesting anybody do this, but ladies selling their wedding rings, stuff that I'm like, you know, and bringing the money to help build space. You know, stuff that I'm like, that's like crazy. You know, Kate's not going to sell her ring, but I want to feel the pinch, something I don't feel like I've really felt much before. I also want to use it to teach my kids. You know, for me, I'm so regimented. We got a budget. I try to be as open as possible during the series. You know, we as a family, we give 10% is where we start. All right, we give a few percentage points above to different things, including here. But I have it in our budget, and we give the first out of the month, which is exactly what you know, the Bible talks about. And so we give our first, but because of that, we're so used to living on less than what we actually make that it's no big deal. I don't feel it because we're not used to it. It's not like I'm taking anything away. It's just what we do. And so part of me, I want to feel that pinch. I also, right, will know that I'll be able to, as we give these things up, I also know that the kids are going to notice. Right? The kids will notice. And so there might be some times where they're, and I'm just throwing this out as an example. I don't know if we'll actually do this, but if they're like, hey, why don't we get, you know, why aren't we going to Cedar Point as much? Or why didn't we get passes this year? You know, part of me is I know that I can sit them down and I could say, hey, here's the deal. I use it as a teaching moment. We're taking that money and we're giving it to the church so that we can make space for people who don't know Jesus yet. And I think the only way to teach that to our kids is by showing them, not telling them. And so I kind of want them to feel it as well. And so it will not be easy for me and my family. But it's only for a season, and it will be so good. And so we're doing it. What helps me personally is remembering those that came before us. Remembering those who took a chance, who sacrificed, who made a bold move so that I could be saved. I got saved in this church. All right, I think of the people whose names I will never know on this side of eternity. People in the 40s. All right, these people, I don't know any of these people. These people who in the 40s took a step of faith in their life. They went out and they started this church. These people right here in the late 40s, I mean, these people, I don't know any of them. These people were meeting in a basement who decided, hey, we need to build an auditorium. We need to build space for people who don't know Jesus yet. I think of these people in the 70s, right, who were in that auditorium that was built, who after they had filled that up, they took one of the boldest moves our church has ever done, and they took a step, and they went out and bought 17 acres on the east side of town in Fremont, and some people were like, why would we ever need 17 acres for a church? But we are so glad that they did it, because if it wasn't for that move and having just space, not having to worry about space to grow like we have, especially at our Fremont campus, you know, since the 70s, if it wasn't for that, I firmly believe Tiffin would not be here today. They took that sacrifice and they took that jump. I think of the people in the 2000s, right? Or this is the year 2000, right? People that I grew up with. I was just a kid, right? People who took that step of faith and they built at 600, they went out and they built a 1,000-seat auditorium hoping and praying that God would fill it up. And God not only filled it up, he's filled it up time and time again. Even more recently, I think of these people. Some of you who just 5 years ago took a step. You left the church family that you loved in Fremont. You came down here to Tiffin. All right, we're all part of the same church, but it's just different when you don't get to see him every week. You came down here to Tiffin to reach people in this area. And you sacrificed to make that happen. And most of these people, from the decades and decades before, they didn't know me. They didn't know who I was. Yet they invested and they sacrificed for me and for you. And so this problem that we have is specific to grace. All right, this is nothing new for us. We are out of space. It's just our turn. And the honest truth is that for some of you, this may be the last great thing that you do. And so if you consider grace your church home, which is most of us in here, again, if you're new, right, or if you're still, you know, you're still trying to figure things out, all right, we are asking a dime for you. This is not for you. In fact, we're doing this. We are doing this for you. Right? We are making space for you because someday we want you to officially be a part of us. We want you to be one of us. We want you to give your life over to Jesus and start that relationship that you were created to have. That's what we want from you. But if you consider Grace Your Church home, 100%, you should be somewhat invested in helping us make space for our community. You should be a part of what we're doing here. What that looks like financially for you, it's between you and God. And so every one of us in our program today, we all got one of these cards. All right, it's a commitment card. You guys have seen these for the last 3 weeks. On the back of that card, a lot of people in our church have asked us when I've been talking to them about it. They're just like, hey, you know, how many people have to give what? This is one way of doing that. Now, does it have to be this way? This is just an idea. This equals 5 million. That means we have to have 50 people give $5,000 over a four-year period. This is for 4 years. I mean, that means we have to have 20 people give $25,000 and 10 people give $75,000 and all the way up to 2 people give $500,000, right? I get that's a lot of money over a four-year period. That's just the math. I don't know. We can get there any other way. And then on top of that, that's above and beyond what we normally do, which a lot of us are part of that, you know, our normal giving and stuff each week. It's a lot. I get it. This past Thursday, in this room, we had a group of people that came, they met together, and they prayed together, and they prayed for you and our church. And those people took the step, and they said, we will go first. And out of those people, they committed, that small group of people committed $1.6 million as a start towards our project. And so we got some momentum, but we have a lot of work to do. And so what I'm going to ask from you, if you consider Grace Your Church home, if not, get on your phone, do whatever you want. Okay, that's cool. No judgment here. All right, but if you consider Grace Your Church home, what I want to do is I want to give you 3 minutes. 3 minutes, and during those 3 minutes, I want you to pray, I want you to listen, and I want you to write. All right, if you need to talk with your spouse, all right, talk it over with them, whisper over to them, that's totally fine. I hope that you've been doing that. You should have been doing that. All right, same thing with praying. You should have been praying over the last few weeks. But I want you to commit if God's leading you to commit. If not, then no. And if you have questions or anything, you can always call into the church office. We're happy. We're an open book. All right, there's nothing to hide here. I just want you to do whatever God tells you to do. So you got 3 minutes. Pray, listen, write. I debated whether even to share this. I don't even know, because I don't want this. I mean, this ain't about me by any means. But for the first time in my life, I am tired. Never felt this way before over an extended period of time. I mean, for us as a staff, we've been running hard since November. I've met with over 300 of you guys about this stuff. We've gone through that. With all this Bold Move stuff, it's just a lot of work to get in. And then on top of that, we're trying to finish the hangar up. And then you have Christmas, which is our biggest weekend out of the year in the middle of that. Then we had our grand opening for the hangar, which has been working great. We've had over 1,000 children here that have never stepped foot into any of our campuses before. So it's working better and faster than we thought. We just got the space issue now. I'm just wiped. I'm worn out. And especially as a pastor, you know, it's not like there's been several weeks where I've put in over 80 hours, you know, doing this stuff. And it's not like as a pastor you get to clock out either, you know, because whenever there's some tragedy that happens, which is life, you know, we're there for us. That's my job. And so with that, I'm so tired of thinking about this and worrying about this and trying to figure out different ways to help lower costs and different things that we can do and different ideas. I'm just tired. And so for me, I can't make the decision for you. You know, the way I view this as today is, this is me. I've run as hard as I think I can run. There's things, sure, I would do different looking back, but in the time, I mean, I tried to work as hard as I could for you. And so this morning, to me, it's like me passing the baton to you, my family. And it's whatever you guys decide, I'll be good with. If we need to wait more years, we'll wait more years. I think it's a mistake. And it should bother you, just like me, of all the people that we're missing in those years. But if we need to wait, we'll wait. It's whatever you guys decide. And so for me, the only decision I get to make is with Kate and decide what we're going to do as a church family, or as a family. And so the Pinkerton family, we're all in. And we're not looking back. And if you call Grace your church home, and if you're with me during this next song, I want you to come in and drop your cards off. And we'll finish up right after that.